Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Was a huge discussion last year in the Chiefs' success in one score games. 10-0 last year, going back the year before, they were 17-0 or 17 straight.
Yep.
One score games. This year, they're 0-3. Regression is kind of a you know what, isn't it? And this goes back to the margin of error that the Chiefs are playing with. Every other team deals with this. The Chiefs are now experiencing that as well. Now, all of a sudden, they're just not winning one score games.
It's so weird because the regression to the mean would suggest the Chiefs are a better team than most teams. So in one score games, they'll have a winning record, right? Maybe win 70%, maybe not 100% gold, certainly. But zero? They're 0-3. And go back in those games and look at where they were. The game was 13-13 against the Chargers, and then they let it completely get away. All they have to do is stop Justin Herbert, and then Patrick Mahomes might go down and win it. In the Eagles game, that game had an even better chance of winning than in last night's game. You were up 4. You had the game-winning drive maybe sealed up. All you got to do defensively is find a way to slow them up and stop them from getting in the end zone, and you win that game. I do not think that this is a regression that I would expect to last forever, but I do think that there is part of this that is you're not good enough all the time, and no team is. To win every one-score game. And what's happened this year probably is the better teams have closed the margin in the sense that they can also win these. I pointed out earlier, and I think it's worth pointing out, that the teams that they have lost to so far this year are 11-4 in total. They are very, very, very good they are very good football teams. They will all be in the playoffs. No doubt about it, I think. All three of them will be in the playoffs. Hell, the Eagles could be the number one seed on their side, and the other two teams will be very good. And so what's happened, I think, this year is they won some of those one-score games against bad teams last year, and you can win as many one-score bad teams as you want. This year, all their one-score games have been good teams, and they've just fallen apart. I don't expect them to go 0-7 this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just regression.
In one-score games.
You can say it's hitting you hard. They're 0-3 in them, yeah. But also you had a 17-0 stretch during them. It was going to shift at some point, and right now you've allowed this to happen. What I'm saying is in the first half last night, it could be 14-0 at halftime. Instead, you drop what should have been an interception. It allows them to keep the drive going. It's 14-7. It allows them to have some faith, one-score game versus kind of putting them down, right?
Bury him. Yeah, happens. That game's over.
And you didn't do that. And then it allowed all this extra stuff to compound. And, you know, you could afford a couple of those mistakes in the second half if you were up 14-0, if it wasn't a 14-7 game. You know, that's the kind of stuff that they didn't do a year ago. And I think for the one-score game stuff, I don't know how many more one-score games you're going to play in. There's a very good chance Sunday's game is a one-score game against the Lions. You know what I mean? And so they're going to have to find a way to close out a football game against a quality opponent.
I think what's really stood out, and this is the part that frustrates about any of this, is like your regression. Like, it typically, how they won these games, Gold, is they just don't make mistakes at the end, and you do, right? Hey, we're two teams, and we got Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, so you'll screw up. We won't. We win. The end, right? The Denver Broncos will have a field goal blocked. And we'll win the game. You'll lose the game, etc. You'll make the mistake. We don't. Maybe if I took on aggregate the 5 games so far this year for the Chiefs, the reason why I think this regression is hitting so hard, Gold, is they're a sloppy-ass football team. They play sloppy football. That is very, and I'm not saying they've never screwed anything up in the previous 7 years with these two guys, but like, you have Patrick Mahomes, you have Andy Reid, so you have maybe the best coach of all time, maybe the best quarterback of all time, whatever, most talented, however you want to look at it. Why are you so sloppy? Why do you make so many mistakes in the first five games this year. I don't care if it's the penalties. Juwan Taylor, and they had a ton of penalties yesterday, and I'm not even saying they weren't guilty of most of them. They were definitely guilty of most of them. Tyquan lined up in the wrong area. Shamari Connor definitely pass interfered him. Hell, they didn't even get the pass interference that was definitively won on the Trent McDuffie pick. That's the part that gets me. You are too experienced of an NFL football team, coaching staff, whatever, to just be kicking the football around. The regression feels like it's self-inflicted.
That's usually how it happens. I mean, that's a lot of times that occurs in that particular way. You have luck that helps you also get to 17-0. As much as it is coaching, there's coaching, there's playmakers making plays to help you go 17 straight one-score games. There's also some luck involved. So when you're 0-3 in one-score games, there's coaching errors, there's players not making plays, and there's probably some luck that went the other team's way. Some of this is just, you've been living a pretty charmed life for a while, and now it's just regressing the other way. Do I think they're now going to be 0-8 in one-score games this year? No. My guess is they will win a few of them, but it needs to happen quick. Based on the schedule, you're going to be in a lot of one-score games. It's the NFL. One-score games, this is kind of the world you live in. Like, it goes back to most teams don't blow out other teams. The Chiefs were fortunate to do that against Baltimore last week and win by 17. But most games are that way. That's kind of how the NFL goes.
Most games are close, and you can't be the team who makes the critical mistake at the critical moment. What's crazy, it's like, after every critical mistake last night, they overcame it, right? So, like, they were up 14-0, and then they kept kicking the ball around. They didn't get the interception. They let him go down and drive. They got called for pass interference, even though it was kind of a weak call. They got called for pass interference. Drive continues, all this other stuff, fine. Then they throw a pick six in which they are determined to go up either 17-14 or 21-14. They're on the 1 yard line, so like certainly feels like they're getting ready to go up. Then they just go down the field and it's 21-21. And then they get up at late in the game. They overcame so many of the mistakes only to not be able to get off the field in a minute and a half when the Jags were not even playing particularly clean football on the final drive of the game. That's what's frustrating. It's not like the Jags played some, like, I understand when the Chiefs lose and teams are playing pitcher perfect. Chargers played really well in week one, so maybe that's the one. But the Eagles messed around a lot and did not look perfect in their game. Neither did the Jags in this. It's not even like they're playing perfect football and you're playing bad football and you're losing. It's like you're both playing sloppy football and you're the one being sloppier in the mess, which doesn't make sense. Then on the other side of the football field, they are making coaching decisions that still don't make any sense to me. If you look at all of the grades for the NFL, the Chiefs have one of the best rookie corners in the league. Noah Williams, rates out, is one of the best Pro Football Focus, stats-wise, play-wise, whatever you want to look at it. He's one of the best rookie corners in the NFL, and I got Shamari Connor Gold out here playing 99.9% of the snaps or whatever. And I'm not saying he can't play a lot. They obviously value him. Why was Noah Williams only in for 4 snaps of the game? It doesn't make any sense to me. That seems like a fatal mistake.
He's been playing really well.
How did you allow that to happen after he was coming off maybe his best game as a pro?
That's bizarre. Yeah, it's really bizarre for the best defensive staff in football in that particular. It'll be interesting later on in the week to hear from Steve Spagnuolo when he's asked about that, because I'm sure he will be, and why Noah Williams didn't play as much. You know, there's a lot of second guessing that happens when you have a performance like that defensively, especially late on drives. But it doesn't make any sense for a guy that's been playing as well as he has, why they thought that particular decision would be a good one throughout the entire game. You know, and to the Jags' credit, they found their mismatch, Brian Thomas with Shamari Connor. That's amazing, especially in that last drive. The last drive in particular.
Was it Shamari or was it Jalen Watson? Because Jalen Watson
that
was...
That play was Shamari Connor.
He threw it over Jalen Watson, who missed on the bat, and Shamari Connor was over top. Too, yeah. He was over top, and then Jalen Watson got beat on that little out by De'Ami Brown. It feels like he was targeting Jalen Watson.
Watson didn't have a good game either, but that goes back to the same thing with Noah Williams. If Jalen Watson's not having his best game, if Shamari Connor's getting picked on by Brian Thomas in the final drive, well then...
That's what I'm saying, because Jalen Watson... Shamari's more of the safety-ish type of player where, I mean...
He's the player
we're talking corner directly. It's Jalen Watson. And so I think that's where it's interesting that...
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to bench Jalen Watson. For the first 4 weeks, he's been as good as you could possibly ask for. So, my argument is not that Jalen Watson needs to be off the field for Noah Williams. It needs Noah Williams, one way or the other, they got to find a way to get him. He's been the nickel corner for this team. Noah Williams, though, has not been playing Jalen Watson's spot even before. I don't think anybody's been arguing that Jalen Watson should be off the field in favor of Noah Williams.
I know, I understand that, but it feels like, and I think Herbert was doing this too, it feels like Jalen Watson, there's moments where he gets picked on, And it's like, man.
Sure, he's an imperfect corner.
I understand that, but...
I mean, just last week we were saying he played one of his best games of his career, so I don't think he's...
Again, like I said, it's in moments where he just gets... He can't make a stop. I think it's a little bit inconsistent, which it's evident when it's bad. Like, when it's good, sure. it's really good, but when it's evident, it's like... Justin Herbert is targeting Jalen Watson right now. Trevor Lawrence went at Jalen Watson yesterday, and Shamari Conner was also a part of it. I think that also, when I looked... In two of the three losses this year, the Chiefs defense made one stop in the second half in both games. It feels like this is something that we saw last year and the couple years before that. The ability of the defense to basically win you the game. Like when they needed to get you a stop, it seemed like they always came through, whether it was a Spags blitz, a batted ball, a sack, a pick, a great tackle, whatever it is. It always felt like the Chiefs defense was going to come through for you, where we haven't seen that in these games this year. And I think that's just collectively a lack of execution across the board. It's a lack of a pass rush. It's somebody getting beat it's the little things that the Chiefs always seem to have done well. They're not doing defensively this year. And at least those two of the three particular losses.
I don't disagree right now. I would say I think that was an exact take you had on the show last year about the Chiefs defense as well. Like it was that we had this exact same conversation.
No, my take was that they didn't close out games last year. It was always the question last year, and they always came through last year. Like Patrick Mahomes admitted it too. The Chiefs defense won them games single-handedly last year, multiple times. Mahomes admitted it.
Exactly.
This year, we're not seeing them do that, and as a result, they're losing close games. I think the one possession game thing is partially also because the defense is not making that play where, hey, you got to stop. Like as soon as they get to 21-21, the Chiefs defense last year would have made a stop and they would have punted the ball. Instead, the Jags get a field goal and it gives themselves a chance to win the game as well with that touchdown afterwards. It felt like when they needed a stop, the defense couldn't get you that stop. As opposed to years past where they've always been able to.
I don't know. I mean, it's hard.
Last night, I guess I don't want to make this last night seem like the Chargers game as well. Yeah, well, the Chargers game, we've all acknowledged that the whole entire team, I don't know what the hell that team was in week one. I mean, as far as I'm concerned,
they just played a bad football game.
That was a game, but
I'm
not willing to say last night and now the defense doesn't know how to get stops because last night they couldn't get the stop at the end of the game. That's all.
Like, if you still look at the yards per play, all that stuff. And look, the one throw that we're talking about, like picking on Jalen Watson and Shamari Conner, that was an incredible throw from Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, the throw was
like, that one's not like Jalen Watson got
best
beat.
Throw of the season.
He had a 3-inch window to hit that pass.
Of his career.
Hit it. Like, sometimes quarterbacks going to do that. He made truly an incredible throw. There was not a flawed part of the coverage. I'm just saying, there is no universe in which Noel Williams should only play four snaps for a guy who grades out well, looks good in coverage. It's not like in the four snaps, he could look like he just got his ass kicked and screwed things up. He only played four snaps.
So it's a Spags thing.
So like, I don't know.
Why was he not? I'm sure he'll be asked that.
I'm going to guess. And Williams played way more special teams. I'm going to guess that part of their game plan is that they thought that they might take advantage of Noel Williams. I don't know. Sometimes they do. Genuinely, I think as a coaching staff, just forgetting the substitution packages or the packages that exist against a defense, they know they're going to attack the Jags. And that might be a bunch of packages that Williams is not in. But it's a mistake sometimes to leave one of your better playmakers on defense. You should adjust more to what you do well sometimes rather than just try to adjust to the package you want to run against that defense. And I think that's where the Chiefs get stuck sometimes. That's where we run into these games like that game last night.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.